And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. My buddy Tom Fairbanks is engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Hey, Tom. It was a treat to see the Thunderbirds doing the rehearsal. They did a little bit yesterday after the show. We're very close to Davis Monthan here, so I saw a little bit of of what they're doing when I was leaving yesterday. And then driving in today, it almost was like a road hazard because everybody was going, whoa, you'd see all the brake lights come on. What is that?
Yeah, we've been enjoying listening to them in the studio here flying overhead.
I cannot believe how close it looks like those wingtips are just like a few inches away. Anyway, talk about precision. Amazing. They'll be putting on a great show at DM tomorrow. Today it is Friday. It's March 24th, 2023. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Bustos Media Complex, and we're in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI, the voice, the place for trusted news and talk. We're in our 13th year on the radio show and our 35th year with TV and radio in this town. I have our worldwide live listening, which means you can hear the program anywhere you have a computer by going to buckmastershow.com, and we have the piggyback live feed from kvoi.com. When we have our telephone interviews, and if folks would like to join us, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and we are discussing today water, so let's open the live line at 790-2040 for any water questions. Our media partners, we like to do a big thank you on Friday. Tucson Sentinel.com supports us, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. My co-host today, Eddie Celaya, is here. Eddie is the cannabis reporter at the Arizona Daily Star and host of the Arizona Daily Star's podcast, Here Weed Go, W-E-E-D, Weed Go. And the show is very popular and keeps growing. And Eddie, you're doing a great job. Great to see you again.
Great to see you, Bill. Great to be here.
Every time I listen to your podcast, you really are improving. You're getting pretty good at this.
You know, it's a
pretty
week.
Pretty soon you'll be ready for the to fill in for me.
One day. It is it's that weekly thing. I don't get the daily practice.
Yeah,
you do,
there you go. John Kamik is with us. John, how are you?
Very good. How are you doing?
John's the director of Tucson Water, which serves 250,000 people in the Tucson Basin and has implemented one of the most successful and notable water conservation programs in the country. Director Kamik previously served as director of Marana Water for 7 years. He's a longtime water leader in Arizona, serves on the Water Augmentation, Innovation, and Conservation Committee. That was when Governor Ducey had that. Is that committee still now under the new governor?
Has that
committee been dissolved?
Yeah, I think the committee has not met for a while, so I imagine the new governor will probably be reconvening something new.
He also sits, John also sits on the board of directors for the National Water Reuse Association, and he is a director of the Arizona Water Association Board. So, John, so much to talk about since you were with us about 3 months ago. I think our listeners are very curious about the update on what is the latest. Is the states that get Colorado River water, they're all wondering what's next as far as cuts.
Yeah, so and we are too. So the Bureau of Reclamation is in control of the river, essentially, and the seven basin states that participate in that. What has happened more recently, the Bureau asked for the states to come together and come up with a proposed plan on how to essentially, let's say, share in some future cuts in order to save Lake Powell and Lake Mead from dropping any further. Six of the states put a plan together, a modest plan, and one of the states put their own plan together and did it.
I think that would be California.
I think you are very much right. Yeah.
The big gorilla in the room. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. So the group of six and the group of one submitted their proposals, and the Bureau of Reclamation is currently reviewing those proposals, and we're waiting for the next steps, just like everybody else.
What was this, though, that the forecast show that a federal plan to spend, the Bureau would spend $250 million to conserve enough Colorado River water to increase, raise Lake Mead about 10 feet this year? Is that look like that's going to happen?
Yeah, we're looking at there's multiple bureau plans that are out there. Even in the fall, I think it was about $4 billion was committed to helping to save the Colorado River Basin. And that's normally done through what's called system conservation, compensated system conservation. So Tucson participated last year, and we left a little over 25,000 acre feet, and we're compensated by the federal government for leaving that water. And we're looking to do that again over the next couple of years. And that's what some of this money is going to for people who'd voluntarily want to leave water on the river, in the lakes. They'll be compensated for doing that.
Can we afford to do that?
We can afford to do that because we've been in a great situation for many years now. I just finalized our annual storage report for the city of Tucson, and we are getting close to nearly 600,000 acre feet of wet water credits that we have banked in the aquifer in Tucson and in Avra Valley over the many number of years. That's enough to serve Tucson for six consecutive years at our current rate without having to draft any other groundwater or take any other water sources.
Eddie Salaya.
So, John, my experience with water really was in my teenage years as a swimmer. That is as far as I know about what water does and any water policy. But we've been seeing a lot more increased snowpack and rainfall in the West this last season, this winter. Will that have any effect on what's going on at Lake Mead? And will that trickle down, if you will, to policy here in Tucson?
That's a great question, because I think everybody is excited on what's been happening this winter in the western United States. And you're right. So we're seeing a very heavy snowpack in Colorado, as well as in California, and all the weather that they've been getting. So what happens this spring will be monitored very closely, because it all depends on the runoff situation. How much of that water ends up just replacing the water that historically was in the soil and doesn't end up as runoff because it's been dry in the West.
Sure.
But if there is a good runoff, a good inflow into the river system, that's obviously going to help. But it's going to take many years of a good season like this to really see those lakes rebound. So even though it's not going to solve all the issues, but it's going in the right direction. Like I always say, it always matters how much it snows in Colorado more than how much it rains in Tucson. This winter, we got both. So mm-hmm. we have a very yeah. wet Arizona and a very heavy snow Colorado. So you can't ask for anything better.
And there are so many nuances, Eddie and John, about how the weather, the temperatures, if things warm up really fast in Colorado, going to get a lot of quick runoff. But if things are a little slower, it's a big difference.
Yeah, and it all has to do with that soil moisture level. Mm-hmm. So because of how dry it's been, particularly the last 20 years, the moisture level comes out of the soil. So when there is moisture, it goes back into the soil. It doesn't produce as much runoff as it normally would in the normal years of the 20th century.
So you said we're banking like we would have a six-year supply. The CAP is currently Tucson's main, if not kind of the exclusive source of drinking water. Is that correct? We're not using groundwater?
It's our primary water source.
Right.
So we always look to our renewable water sources first. So it's the Colorado mm-hmm. River water mm-hmm. through the CAP canal. And then we have a recycled water program throughout the community for those non-drinking water uses, the schools, the parks, the golf courses. So we're very resilient in how we bank not only our Colorado River water, but we're also banking the region's effluent, either in constructed aquifer recharge projects or in the Santa Cruz River itself?
There was a time, Eddie, that Tucson used more groundwater than any other city its size in the country. I mean, this is a big change, John.
Oh, yeah. It was scary.
We were depleting our groundwater table.
Yeah, from an environmental standpoint, back in the 70s and 80s, the depletion of groundwater in the Tucson area was huge because it was predominantly agriculture.
Yes.
So if you flew over this area in the early 70s, you had the city surrounded by farms. You go to Avra Valley, that was all farmland as well. Now it's mostly desert. The farms are pretty much gone. Tucson area, the Tucson Basin, there's very little farming left, if any. So farms use so much groundwater during those years. That's how the Santa Cruz River dried up. And it would not be uncommon for the aquifer to fall 5, 10, 15 feet a year in some areas. So by bringing in Colorado River water and using that and banking it in Avra Valley and using that as our primary supply, the aquifer systems in the Tucson Basin have been able to rebound and recover over the last 20 years in particularly.
Eddie?
Like I said in my first question, I'm a little bit of a Luddite when it comes to how Tucson water works. Mm-hmm. But talk to me, is Tucson water a utility that serves exclusively Pima County? And how is it funded?
Okay, Tucson Water is actually an enterprise-funded department of the city of Tucson. So we serve all of the city of Tucson, but we also serve around 35% of our customers outside the city. Most of that in unincorporated Pima County. A significant portion of the town of Marana, like your Continental Ranch area and your Dove Mountain area, is Tucson Water delivered from the city. So it's not within the boundaries of the city. It is outside, but there are other several significant water utilities in the area too. Town of Marana has its own utility, serves most of North Marana. Oro Valley serves itself. And then you have the Metropolitan Water District, which serves most of the unincorporated Pima County areas.
And what sort of, I guess the question is, what sort of coordination happens between all of these different utilities?
That's a great question, because we do a tremendous amount of coordination between these utilities, and we were able to leverage a lot of our infrastructure, so we're not wasting communities' money. So using Oro Valley as an example, they actually bank a significant portion of their Colorado River water that they're entitled to in City of Tucson facilities. And then we end up pumping that through our system up to connection points that we have with Oro Valley so they can deliver renewable resources to their community.
Mm. What does it mean to bank water? I know how to bank my money, but, you know.
That is a good question.
We hear
you're banking water. How does that work?
Is there interest on that?
I wish there was. It is putting wet water, taking wet water from the Colorado, from the canal. We have these open basins, and you can see these from the Desert Museum. There's an overlook there. If you look to the west in Avra Valley in particular, you see a lot of these square lake features out in the middle of the valley. That is actually the city of Tucson and others putting their Colorado River water, spreading it across these basins and naturally filtering it back into the aquifer system. So it goes down into the ground and creates a wet water input back into the aquifer system.
How long does that take to
some of our base,
the whole process?
Yeah, our infiltration rates for Colorado River water on average are probably about 2 feet a day. So when you flood, when you flood one of these 60-acre basins, and 2 feet a day is going in, that's all just percolating like through a giant sand. We're just using the earth as a giant sand filter to go back into the water table.
Because it gets so hot out here, how much of that could be lost, though, to evaporation?
That's a great question. And we do have to account for that, because this is all done under the rules with the Arizona Department of Water Resources. So when we're banking our water in Avra Valley in those facilities, we calculate about a 1.8 to 2% evaporation loss.
Hmm. All right, we're going to pause right here. Eddie and John talk about my favorite bakery in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery. Eddie, I bet you could go for some bakery goods right now with a nice cup of coffee.
I could use some German chocolate cake. I've got a hankering for that.
I don't know if Steve does that up there. I'll have to ask him, Steve and the team at Mona's Danish Bakery. John, what about you? A croissant, would that work for you?
Yeah, a chocolate croissant.
I thought so. That's what I've had on my mind lately, a chocolate croissant. Had one last weekend from Mona's, and it was so large, it was the size of a Frisbee.
that's my kind of a sport right there. Then.
There you go. They are open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast 6:30, Tuesday through Saturday. Sunday, they open at 7. My suggestion, get to Mona's early for the best look and chance to grab what you want from the bakery case. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. We'll take a break right here. We're talking water with John Kamik, who is the director of Tucson Water, and Eddie Celaya from the Arizona Daily Star. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. John Kamik is with us. John is the director of Tucson Water. Eddie Celaya is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Director Kamik, the foam that was used really up until 2019 by the military and commercial use to put out aircraft fires, that has a long history, actually back to the 1960s here in the Tucson area. Unfortunately, these are chemicals that just don't break down. They have gotten into the groundwater system. What is the update on that? And we're talking about maybe 25 wells that have had to be closed down by you guys.
Yes, Bill. Yeah, so we've been dealing with this PFAS issue, and that stands for poly and perfluoroalkyl substances. Oh. Another fancy way.
I wasn't going to make you pronounce it, but now that you did, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a carbon fluorine molecule that was developed many, many years ago, and it's very good. It's very strong. Unfortunately, it's so strong it doesn't break down naturally in the environment, and it ends up staying around forever. So it was used to make foams, for the military and for commercial aviation to put out aircraft fires, large fuel depot fires, those kind of things.
Unfortunately, it was used a lot in training. If it had just been used in actual events, it would have been a very small amount of material we're talking about. But when you're training with it, that's a problem.
And that's what we're discovering nationally is how people were training the fire departments that were using this foam, trained frequently, released it to the environment, went back, and did it every week or every month or however they did this at airports and air bases and military establishments throughout the country. So mm-hmm. Tucson's not unique having an environmental issue with PFAS, but it is a tremendous national issue, and it's one we're dealing with at Tucson Water.
Eddie, our water picture sounds like would be a lot brighter without that.
So tell me this, what level of these PFAS can be in water before they're deemed dangerous?
And that is a very timely question, because it was just last week that the Environmental Protection Agency put out proposed contaminant limits for several of these PFAS compounds. Two in particular that have always had a health advisory and is now moving towards the regulatory path is PFOA and PFOS. And those proposed limits are 4 parts per trillion. So it has to be less.
Trillion?
Yes, and that's one of the.
So it sounds like they have now toughened the regulations.
It's gone back and forth. It used to be significantly higher several years ago, 400 and 200 part per trillion respectively. And then it went to 70 part per trillion combined if you add the two together. And then in the fall, it went to non-detect, which is less than 2. But then they just readjusted it for the proposed MCL, the maximum contaminant limited for drinking water, to less than 4.
So what are the effects if this does get into, let's say, the drinking water? What would people want to watch out for?
Well, the effects that the perfluorinated compound are supposed to have is it's like a carcinogen. So it could cause cancers in different parts of organ tissue, predominantly, I think, like kidney cancer, mm-hmm. liver cancer, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can add, Tucson Water's been very much in front of this issue. So we sample all of our water sources very frequently. We have removed over 25 wells from service over the years. So we've been avoiding these areas where we know PFAS is present in groundwater system, whether that's north of Davis-Monthan, near the center part of town, or north-northwest of Tucson International Airport.
And don't hold your breath for our intervention here to pay for cleaning this up.
Yeah,
right?
It's going to take a while, and it's going to be nationally a huge cleanup cost.
Let's talk about desert conservation, water conservation. I have been in town 35 years, John and Eddie, and I know that the Beat the Peak, we saw that little cartoon character, and it was effective about just trying to avoid watering during peak hours. And it did develop for Tucson, Arizona, a water conservation ethic.
Yeah, the Beat the Peak program was highly successful, and we're still using it. So, dirty little secret, that duck is still out there. So people might see that duck walking around town at certain events. So
all right.
Pete is out there.
Okay.
But yeah, it was the days before Colorado River water came to Tucson. We knew the aquifers were plummeting from too much groundwater withdrawal, that a Beat the Peak program was created to let people know, like you mentioned, don't use lots of water at those peak hours, particularly in the summer months, that would put undue stress on the system. So it launched the conservation ethic, and that's when you started to see the lawns go away in Tucson and some of the other outdoor water use that today we probably see as frivolous. Mm-hmm. That ethic started building back then in the 60s, 70s, and continues today and puts Tucson in a very good position as being one of the most conservation-minded communities in the West.
Eddie. So I cover cannabis, and I know that hemp and marijuana growing are very water intensive. Got to have water to grow it. Has Tucson Water done any partnerships or worked with any of the grows that are within Pima County to kind of help them with water remediation and conservation?
The cannabis growers in particular?
The large ones.
I do not think so. I don't have that on the top of my list. Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't believe we do.
I guess my question, a follow-up to that, for folks that might be home growers, and just so people know, if you have two adults in a household, you can grow up to 12 plants. There are some stipulations to that. What would you say to folks who are growing within their house, whether it be cannabis or just a garden? Is there any sort of conservation messages or things like that that you would want to let people know?
Yeah, well, in any type of agriculture, people always tend to think that if you have a good crop or a good product, you just can add more water. When in reality, knowing what your crop is and knowing how much water it actually needs is probably the safer and more conservation-related way to do it for the health of the plant. Making sure you're not overwatering, making sure you're recycling the water. If you have a system where you can bring the water back to the plant, like hydroponics or something like that people use for either tomatoes and I guess in cannabis as well. Overwatering sometimes, adding more water sometimes never the answer. Knowing exactly what your plant needs is the proper approach.
You have put out an excellent book. It's called The Responsible Desert Dweller Guide. Where is this available, John?
These books are being made available from Tucson Water, mostly at public events. Then, so you'll be seeing these throughout the community going forward. What this book chronicles is the past of water use in Tucson. We have a multi-thousand-year history with water in the Santa Cruz River. The present, what we've been doing lately, and then what we're looking at in the future. But it gives a lot of helpful tips on conservation, on appliance rebates that we offer and all those things to make you a responsible Sonoran desert dweller. We also have a website associated with that as well. I believe it's the responsibledesertdweller.com.
And I'm looking at the book right now, and a lot of people do want to get into water recycling, what's often called gray water irrigation, rainwater harvesting. That is a growing area in our community, isn't it?
It has been. It has been, yeah. What we see in general is just people are very conscious of the water they use outside. The direction we're seeing at the utility are that people are landscaping their yards differently. So when we have a wet winter or when the monsoons come, they hold as much moisture in that soil environment, like we talked about, as possible, so that your desert landscaping blooms and thrives. I think we're going to see a lot of that, particularly after these winter rains.
Right, right.
You can drive to Picacho Peak right now and see the wildflowers mm-hmm. coming out. We've had a tremendous winter.
What about the rates now? There was a 4-year rate increase. Could you kind of give us the overall picture on that?
Yes. Mayor and Council a couple months ago did pass a rate plan for Tucson Water. Our rates will be going into effect. General rate plan increases will go into effect after July 1, and then for three other July 1st after that. It's roughly about 5.5% a year across the board for most people in the categories. The challenges that we have, as many people know, we do buy Colorado River water. That's mm-hmm. an increasing expense as there's mm-hmm. more shortage of that. Electricity, natural gas, water is very heavy. So we're a very energy intensive utility. So that's been going up. And then our capital improvement programs, replacing the pipes in the streets and doing all those projects, material cost and labor to do a lot of the engineering projects we do to have a 24/7 operation. Those costs have been going up as well.
All right, let's go to the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Listener Ted has a question for John. Go ahead, Ted.
Yes, they've been replenishing the aquifers for quite some time. Maybe, I don't know, is it 20 years or something now? What percentage of recovery has been achieved with all of this water banking in the aquifers?
What stage of the recovery? And is Ted right? It's been going on for a couple of decades.
Yeah, we started large-scale recharge with our Colorado River water around the year 2000. So,
okay.
Yeah, so Ted's right on that.
There you go.
So, and if I'm understanding the question right, we recharge actively on a nearly daily basis, but we recover actively.
Mm-hmm.
But our allocation for Colorado River water is actually more than our community's demand. So we've been leaving excess water year after year. Maybe Ted, this is the other part of your question, because we are recovering most of that Colorado River water on a put and take basis on a daily basis. We're seeing natural recovery of the Tucson aquifer, and I think in some areas in central Tucson have rebounded close to or more than 100 feet just in the last 20 years.
That's
naturally
amazing.
Recovered. Yes,
that's
yeah.
Amazing. Good question from Ted about where we are in that recovery process. Here's Eddie.
My colleague Tony Davis recently wrote a story about folks who use quite a bit more than what the average Tucson Water customer uses. And it talked about possible audits for these folks. What would a water audit look like for a high-use household?
So what we do, and that's part of our conservation program, is we offer these water audits for people who are interested in how their water is being used on their property. So what that article was referring to was a response to our drought preparedness plan for the city of Tucson. We are in a Tier 2 drought on the Colorado, and that triggers different things that the department, Mayor and Council, wants the department to do. And one of them is to identify high users in the residential, particularly in the residential sphere, and ask them, hey, we notice you use much more water than your neighbors at this higher level. And I believe the target we used was 250%, greater than 250% than what the normal Tucson water average is. And so we sent them letters making sure that they knew about our conservation programming, our rebate programming, but we also made the offer of doing water audits. A water audit would be, we have a staff member walk through, check their irrigation system, make sure there's no leaks noticeable, look at their toilets, make sure the toilets aren't leaking, looking at other plumbing fixtures, and basically walking with the homeowner on all the things they should probably do on a frequent basis to make sure that they're not unnecessarily losing water from their plumbing system.
Because they may not even know it.
That's what most of the water loss is unknown. And it's just because someone doesn't go to a certain area of their house because all their children have grown and left.
Mm-hmm.
But you may find that the toilet's been running there for three months.
You know, that's a good, actually, that's a good public service that you guys are offering.
Yeah.
And that's a free, to come out free, right?
Yep.
To check on
it? Yep, you just have to call and schedule a time period, and one of our conservation experts come out there and meet you and walk your property with you.
All right, John, before we let you go, we'll know more probably on the Colorado River. That is a fluid, as they say, situation. We'll see how this snowpack, how it all plays out. But the good news is we are banking CAP water.
We are banking water, and all those residents out there in the Tucson water community that have that desert adaptive landscape, they're getting a lot of water naturally, so they're not paying for it. It's coming down all winter.
John Kamik, thank you very much, John.
All right, thank you.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Eddie Salaya sticks around. Going to talk with Eddie. I've got a couple of quick questions for him. The Buckmaster Show continuing on a Friday. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition. Thank you to John Kamik, the director of Tucson Water, for giving us a couple of really informative segments. Eddie Celaya with me from the Arizona Daily Star. Eddie primarily covers the cannabis beat. He's also the very able host of a very popular podcast sponsored by the Arizona Daily Star, Hear Weed Go. Eddie, before we talk about your area of expertise, I do want to mention that as John was leaving, he said we do have good news on the drought. First of all, nationally, it's looking better, isn't it?
Looks a lot better, except for folks in Kansas and Nebraska, it seems. That Midwest, for whatever reason, is in that D3, D4 U.S. drought monitor category.
Then I've got the latest Arizona drought situation, and this looks really good. This is the first time in maybe, well, this drought's been going on for at least 20 years, but most, I'm just looking at this map. Wouldn't you say that looks like about 85%?
Yeah.
Of Arizona is not in a drought right now. And that's been a long time since we've seen that.
Yeah, that looks good. Other than like that little part of Yuma right there.
Yeah, little area over in Yuma still in a drought. Okay, in your particular area of expertise, how is the podcast going?
The podcast is going great. I actually had former Bears quarterback Jim McMahon on recently, and he talked about his cannabis brand, how his journey with cannabis personally, and how it's helped him get off a lot of the prescription drugs that he had been on since his playing days.
How many states now have legalization?
There are 21, excuse me. I was going to say 22. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit up in question right now in Delaware, but 21 in Maryland and Missouri are rolling out their programs this year. Unfortunately, Oklahoma had a special election 2 weeks ago And the voters there rejected bringing a recreational program into that state. It has the most robust medical program of any state, and actually the
really?
Most and the most dispensaries of any state. They have as many dispensaries as McDonald's or gas stations.
Oh,
there.
My goodness. So it starts, usually the path is with the medical, right?
That's usually been, especially out west, what's usually precedes it by anywhere from four or, in our case, almost a decade of years. Yeah,
Eddie, I'm confused. The difference between the hemp and then the cannabis, you see a lot of hemp products. What's going on there?
All right. So in 2018, Congress passed the Farm Bill, and that had the effect of basically, it took hemp off of the Schedule One. It basically separated hemp, which in the United States is classified as cannabis with less than 3% psychoactive THC, THC-9, basically. So those sort of plants are considered hemp now. And you can grow those and ship the cannabinoids and products that come from it across state lines. And you can sell those products, essentially, in most states, at convenience stores, gas stations. And because of the new extraction procedures and kind of science that has gone into it, some of these products, especially gummies, are nearly indecipherable in their effects from what you see out of marijuana. And there has been some tension between the industries as to what to do with those products. Currently here in Arizona, there is a bill before the legislature that would bring marijuana-style testing to hemp that's grown here in state, as well as some packaging and some other changes. However, the hemp industry, while they're behind it, the cannabis industry would like to see those sort of products that are, in their mind, inebriators, to be brought under their system, which is in the Department of Health Services and not the Agriculture Department. So there is there is definitely a bit of a rift within the larger cannabis community.
Who is regulating hemp then in Arizona?
It's very lightly regulated right now by the Department of Ag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and so when we see creams and things, those are usually hemp derivatives?
Yes. Almost all topicals are going to be including CBD, which is number one, it is non-psychoactive, and number two, almost like literally 99% of those products are hemp products.
What about the ingestion by children of some of these products? This is now being talked about. Maybe we really need to take a look at this.
Yeah, there has been a huge increase in children under the age of two in the last 2-3 years that have been reporting calls to, obviously they are not lighting up. They are ingesting, edibles.
Yeah.
And the effects they have, while they're not fatal, can be extremely scary and psychologically can be long reaching.
Yes.
And that just is not for 0 to 2 year olds, but that's for teens and younger as well.
And so there is a response from the Arizona Poison Control.
There has been. They've partnered with the Arizona Dispensaries Association to let folks know basically who to call and what to call and what signs to look for if their child were to ingest some sort of cannabis edible. Mm-hmm. And it's also been letting them know to look out for these hemp products that are, again, more lightly regulated and lightly tested that can be found at grocery stores, convenience stores, gas stations, because the rise in children taking those has also increased as well.
What about operating a vehicle being under the influence of one of these products?
Oh, well, that is still strictly prohibited, and we would not encourage that in any way.
No.
There has been some...
I'm just wondering if it's being monitoring whether that's gone up or the arrests have gone up.
You know, in Colorado, there's been some indication that the marijuana DUIs have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
It is extremely hard to be able to quantify what if somebody is actually inebriated on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are a few devices, you can listen to my podcast on some of them, where whether there's tracking what your eye movement is with a headset or a THC breathalyzer. Both of these technologies are starting to roll out. Mm-hmm. There is interest from law enforcement as well as like construction industry, where people need to know, is somebody inebriated by cannabis, mm-hmm. or is this something that they smoked a week ago and it's just turning up in a blood test?
Eddie Salaya with us from the Arizona Daily Star. He covers cannabis. His podcast is Here Weed Go. The expungement program of getting marijuana convictions here in Pima County off of people's records, is that continuing?
It is continuing. There is actually going to be an expungement fair tomorrow. You can look that up on Tucson House of Cannabis's Instagram page. They will be hosting that with the Arizona Expungement Project, which goes out to different festivals and different meetings throughout the state and every county, and helps folks who might have a charge that is worthy of being expunged, which is usually a low-level possession.
Is there a fee to do this?
It is all free.
It is all free,
yes.
Okay. I also want to promote something coming up, Eddie, in May that you wanted to tell our listeners about.
Yes, we are going to be having Chronicon. Chronicon is going to be the largest cannabis festival ever held in the Tucson area.
Whoa.
Yeah, we're going to be holding it at Coco Rocky Ranch, which is about 30, 35 minutes west of downtown Tucson. It'll feature 100 vendors, DJs, live bands. We'll have food trucks and food carts of all kinds out there, and you can consume cannabis out there as well. That is going to be something that will be available to anybody that purchases their tickets. You can get your tickets at chroniccontucson.com.
Be there or be square.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
very square.
And again, I'm not familiar with that location. What was that again?
Coco Rocky Ranch.
Coco Rocky Ranch.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's a really big ranch. They've got a rodeo stage out there that will be holding the big acts and special guest stars out there with. I'll be the MC of this event.
Oh, my
goodness. Yeah,
the festival is in town or coming to town. Eddie Salaya, thank you, Eddie, and we'll look for your work, not only in the Star, but your podcast, Here Weed Go, which is being listened by people all over the world, I guess.
It is. It's an international, national podcast.
There you go. Thanks, Eddie. Great to see you.
Great seeing you.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Weekend Watch coming up with Matt Russell right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. come in for your design session, or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start thinking about your spring getaway as we have a slow warm-up here in the Southwest. But, you know, when you live in Tucson, Arizona, and you have summer temperatures, pushing 110 and beyond, this is not bad at all, having this kind of slow warm-up. And it is very pretty over in the Gila National Wilderness in Silver City. Great time to do some hiking, only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. All sorts of tips, recreation tips, and great places to stay and dine as well in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Speaking of dining, Matt Russell knows a thing or two about good food. Mr. Russell, how are you, sir?
He is charged. I do know a thing or two. Nice to be back after a week. Last Friday, I missed Dan Gibson, always entertaining your audience with his personal picks, but it's nice to be back in the saddle.
It is good to have you back in the saddle. Is the street fair on this weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's such a fun event. They have to do it twice a year, Bill, and the spring version of the 4th Avenue Street Fair is all weekend long up and down 4th Avenue. Now, I choose to spell the word fair, F-A-R-E, in this regard because of all the great food that's available. So in addition to the spectacular restaurants in the hood, you're going to see pop-ups like Big Red's Hot Sauce, Los Amaya's Salsa Company, Dr. Hummus, and of course, more purveyors of kettle corn than you can count. So the Buckmaster Show's chief meteorologist, Tom Fairbanks, has promised picture-perfect weather. So head down to 4th Avenue anytime over the weekend to celebrate one of the things that I think makes Tucson so unique.
Matt, any tips on a weekend brunch?
Yeah, that's what I'm really excited about. I reported recently on Weekend Watch the opening of Blue Front, kind of a new restaurant on Congress Street downtown. And after making news on the lunch and dinner scene, they've decided to launch a new weekend brunch. So on Saturdays and Sundays from 9 to 3, you can sink your teeth into some serious morning and midday fare. They've got house-made waffles, French toast, breakfast sandwiches, burgers, biscuits and gravy, omelets and quiches. My goodness, 7 signature brunch cocktails. One is called the Strutter. It has coffee bean and chai infused rye whiskey, cold brew, oat milk, and coffee liqueur. I think that'll get your weekend off to a perky start. So check out Blue Front for brunch this weekend.
We are so fortunate to have so many choices, aren't we, when it comes to, I know, one of your favorite pastimes, that weekend brunch. And great tip with the Blue Front. All right, Tohono O'Toole. We love Tohono O'Toole. What do they've got? What do they have going for us right now?
Yeah, so foodies and onophiles alike are really in luck this Sunday, Bill, when the Tohono O'Toole Garden Bistro and 1764 Vineyards are going to collaborate on an Arizona food and wine pairing dinner on Sunday right there at Tohono O'Toole. So this is going to be a delightful 3-course evening of real imaginative cuisine and exquisite wine pairings. And each course is going to be presented by both the chef and the winemaker. So festivities get underway at 5:30 again on Sunday with past hors d'oeuvres, a wine cocktail, and that's going to be followed by this great dinner. So tickets are $139 a person, and that's all in, Bill, both tax and gratuity all included. And of course, it's such a beautiful setting there at Tohono O'Toole. So grab your reservations now, arizonawinerytours.com.
How was your trip over to the Big Easy? I know it was business, but it's always fun being in New Orleans.
Well, I'll just put it this way. If you were a foodie and you're in New Orleans, that is a full-time job. I had only a little bit of time to give to the client that actually flew me out there, but I'm joking, obviously. I am in heaven when it comes to Southern-inspired food, that region's cuisine, Creole, Cajun, and the like. And I'm telling you, I went in head first. I'm still paying the price, Bill.
All right. Well, I'll give you a couple of weeks off here. You've got some vacation coming up, and we certainly appreciate what you're doing. Be well. Thank you, sir.
I'll see you on the flip side. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. The original theme music for our show, composed by my German friend, Christophan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Rose does a great job making sure all of our podcasts are posted in a very timely manner. Everybody here at KVOI, including my engineer-producer, Tom Fairbanks, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. Be well, everybody. Stay safe, and I hope you have a lovely weekend.